Hi, I'm Marcus.
And I'm Nick.
And we are Working Class Nerds.
We're the podcast that gives you no information about your favorite information.
Today is December 20th, 2018. You can find this Santa Claus is Coming to Town podcast on Google Play, Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. You can find me on Twitter. I am at MarcusB814.
And I am at Nick Vern. That's N-I-C-K-V-E-R-N. In this week's episode, we're talking with B. Kavanaugh, a.k.a. B. Cavs, a.k.a. B.C., who is a fellow AIE officer. And we're also going to be talking about 5.10 from SOTOR, Battlefront 2 throwback, Red Dead Online, and a gaming dongle that may be cheating. So before we dive into all that fun stuff, thank you for coming on the show, B. Cavs. And what have you been up to this week?
Hey, Marcus. Hey, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
I've been playing through the Republic and Imperial Loyalist storylines on Ossus, and I'm trying to finish the story on my Assassin so I can play the Imperial Saboteur storyline, running Ossus dailies, killing the Ossus world bosses, and getting credit half the time. I updated my conquest calculator, so folks have all of the new objectives and new points totals for those, but I've been taking it a bit easier personally with conquest, only getting 4 or 5 turns to goal per week, which for me is less than usual. Wow. And then also throwing lots of snowballs on Nar Shaddaa.
Nice.
We spent Marcus a couple hours doing that on Tuesday. Yeah, I know, that's part of the reason why I said 4 or 5 tunes to make Marcus feel bad.
Marcus, have you ever gotten a tune?
Yeah. Oh, I've done it.
Oh, all of them or just one?
Well, I've done it. Couple tunes like at separate times. The most I've ever done is
so just one.
No, the most I ever did was two. It's hard though because I get 3 or 4 days a week where I get in game about 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah,
8:30, 9 o'clock at night. And if I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do conquest. And not conquest ops or group content. And sometimes, like if I get conquest points, great. But for me, the driving force is I only have so much time, and that time I allot for group content where, you know, now with the new update of 5.10 that we'll talk about, the, you know, these guild perks that are coming out are allowing us, it's going to allow things you to get perks that's going to help ops players and ops teams and all this other stuff. So I may have to get a little more involved, but anyways, it's not about me right now. BC, what else have you been doing?
Yeah, along those lines, Marcus, it's interesting you say that because one of the reasons that I end up getting that many tunes to goal is just because a lot of the ways that I play the game tend to be what you also get conquest points for.
Right.
So I'd be interested to see if over time they head more in the direction of including pretty much every activity in some way so that you can get conquest points just by doing your favorite activity. They've sort of indicated that that's the direction they want to go, and they've added some chapters and other new objectives. So I'm hoping that they'll continue to go more in that direction, because if Marcus enjoys playing ops, then he should still feel like he can contribute to the guild leveling by playing ops. He shouldn't have to do stuff that he doesn't want to do in order to contribute.
Absolutely. Right. The thing is, for me, is if you complete an operation, you get a shit ton of conquest points, a ton of them. But why can't you give me points for every boss?
That makes sense. At least you're like,
so like, let's say there's some progression. Like you get, yeah. If you finish the op, you get an extra 500 points of conquest.
Right.
But each boss gives you 100 points. So every time you're doing a boss, it's helping you achieve a goal.
Right.
Where sometimes you get in an op and, you know, Death Star Troopers made the change to hard mode, which I'll get into that. But the, you know, we're not beating the op now.
Right, so you're not getting nearly as many conquest points.
No. And right. So the possibility of me hitting goal, slim to none. But anyways, B-Cavs, anything else you've been doing?
I've been working a lot. Pretty busy time the last quarter of the year at work. So been spending a fair amount of time at work and making sure I knock everything out before Christmas, because on Saturday I fly to Australia for a couple of weeks.
Oh, nice. Visit. I'm assuming you're from there.
Yeah, if the accent didn't give it away already.
I one time we had a a kid from New Zealand that was an exchange student or studying abroad in America on my floor. And I was like, oh, you must be Australian. And he got really pissed off. He's like, no, I'm from New Zealand. Fuck you. Or something to that effect. So I was like, hesitating to just jump the gun and say you're from, you know, Australia. Well, yeah, I figured it's somewhere
guessed,
in that
you
guessed area.
Right. You get right. that'll be 24 hours on a plane without Wi-Fi. So there won't be much conquest happening, but it'll be great to get there and catch up with family and friends.
How do you even sit on a plane for 24 hours?
I don't know how you could do that.
I actually really enjoy it because no one can get a hold of you. So I just watch all the movies and read all the books that I've been wanting to read all year and haven't got around to.
That's fair. You can binge an entire season of a TV show.
Yeah. Or like a podcast. Like, can you imagine listening to 24 hours of a podcast?
Can you imagine listening to 24 hours of Working Class Nerds?
No.
No. You definitely get sick of us after a little.
No, but I'm just saying, like, find one of those podcasts that you can binge on.
Oh, like a story one?
Yeah.
That's true, too.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
You can just rotate between medias.
Or Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, you can just jam on a game.
Oh, no, you'd run out of battery.
You can plug it in.
Yeah, there's chargers on the plane.
Boomba.
Yeah, a lot, like, super long flights, I'm sure most of them have chargers. At least, like,
I hope you're flying. Capacity. Well, I'm a big dude. Yeah. Can you imagine me flying 24 hours and being stuck next to two other people or something?
No.
They'd hate their lives.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Anyways, so Nick, I haven't seen you in 2 weeks.
Yep.
I know you're busy. I know the finals are over.
Yep.
Did you get the Black Arabian horse in Red Dead?
Well, first off, yes, I have two Black Arabian horses, actually. Thank you very much. But I think you meant to ask about the White Arabian horse, which is the rare one that you have to catch in the wild. And I have that too.
Wait, I was reading something on Reddit. So Nick introduced me to the Reddit.
Yeah.
Okay. And
you know he's new when you say the
Reddit. I've been on it for like, I don't know, like 2 years almost, but I never really used it until recently.
Right.
And I've actually like learned to love it. So I follow the Red Dead subreddit.
Yeah. And you see all the people just complaining about Red Dead
yeah,
online.
They're like, I killed my Black Arabian horse, but I can't find another one. I'm like, oh, this thing must be fucking rare. I'll ask Nick.
Yeah. No, it is. And actually, I'm only kidding. I only have the one Black Arabian. But I think there are two in the game. And I know there's a White Arabian that's hard to catch. But it's funny. It's like the prima donna horse. Like, it's the fastest one in the game and handles the best. But, like, it gets scared at everything. It's like, as soon as you start shooting, it's, like, freaking out. And I just get off of it so that it doesn't, like... Because, like, if there's a snake nearby or something, some horses will be like, ah, fuck you, whatever, and just keep walking by. But, like, horses that get scared easily... Well,
do they have a fat horse?
Yeah. Well, they have like Clydesdales.
Yeah, so that'd be perfect for me.
Right. Clomping along. So beyond that, I've been doing a bunch of Christmas shopping stuff. Like today, I had to do like 5 hours worth of mall time, which sucked.
I don't even know how you do it. I just Amazon.
Well, I didn't plan ahead or budget properly, so I just like spent like 3/4 of a paycheck that I got today.
Oof.
So.
But you're done?
But I'm done, yeah.
100%.
Well, no, I have to buy the two Yankee Swap gifts, but those I can get anywhere.
So I'm going to show you.
I know what I'm getting, and I don't want to give it away because Marcus is going to be a part of one of those Yankee Swaps, and I don't want him to know which one's mine, but I can get the stuff for that anywhere. But what are you looking up?
No, keep going.
So beyond, yeah, I had finals week last week, and that finished on Sunday. Well, my last exam was Friday.
Is this wrong? So I really wanted to get this for our Yankee swap, and Carrie told me there's no way I can get that.
He's showing me a cookbook that is all about chicken stuff, chicken recipes. But the title is 50 Ways to Eat Cock. Yes, that would be an appropriate open. No, I think that's great.
But it says healthy chicken recipes with balls.
That's really that's awesome. I like it. I think that's a good gift.
I searched Yankee Swap gift.
That's a great one.
And that's what Amazon gave me. Top choice by Amazon.
Thanks, Amazon.
Yeah, thanks, Amazon.
But anyways, my last final Friday, and the last final was Friday, and then I had a paper due Sunday, so it was kind of like a giant one. Then, of course, I put it off until like the end, so I was working on that this weekend. And then I was relaxing a little bit this week, and I've just been trying to get through Red Dead Redemption 2. I'm probably in the middle of chapter 6. I thought I was close to the end, but then a bunch more side quests just kept popping up and I have to do every single one. So it's taken me a lot longer.
Are you still enjoying it or has it lost its luster?
No, honestly, I'm really enjoying it a lot. Like I've actually, the past few times I played, I did like one side mission and then just went and did hunting and fishing stuff. Like I like going after the legendary animals. It's actually pretty cool.
Oh, I'm with you, but do you find that the side missions like almost drag the game out too much for you?
Sometimes. Yeah, I do. Like, it depends. Like, I don't know when I have to go like 3/4 of the way across the map to go get it, to start it. Then I'm like, ugh, cause I have to ride the horse or whatever, or even like get on the train to get kind of close and then get off the train and go right over there, which like, it's really not a big deal, but that part of it is a little annoying. But then once I'm in the quest, I like it. You know what I mean? If I could just like, fast travel to it and just do it. I like the quests. They're cool. Because they're like, a lot of the times they're really cool stuff. Like you find some professor that's like learned how to use electricity and make a robot or something. And it's $18.99, which is crazy. Or like, I don't know, you help a lady whose husband died and she can't fend for herself. So you teach her how to hunt. That's pretty cool. And I'm surprised you didn't take her to Pound Town afterwards, but that's where I thought that was going, but it didn't. At least not yet. I have another marker where I can go back and talk to her. So you shall see. Tune in next episode of
Working Class Nerds. Anyway,
so that's pretty much it for me. I'm just trying to get through Red Dead Redemption 2 and then I'll, oh, just kidding. I played a little bit of Battlefront 2. That's right. Battlefront 2, the Star Wars game with all the loot boxes. I played the campaign, but, we'll dive into that later, a little bit later. So, Marcus, did you lose weight? I must be drinking too much eggnog. What have you been doing this week? That's fantastic because I did not read the show notes, that section of the show notes before right now. And you've just been plugging this as you got fat the whole time.
Yeah, so, you know,
it leads into that.
Yeah, well, you're like Ron Burgundy. You read what's on the screen.
I do, 100%.
Yeah, you don't read it. You just look and make sure that I wrote my notes.
Right.
So first thing I want to say to everybody is spoilers.
Yes. Burp, 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 burp. Yeah, watch out for spoilers, especially for 5.10. Right?
Is there going to be spoilers here?
Yeah.
Okay, spoilers. Yeah,
full spoilers. Spoilers. All the spoilers.
BC, did you hear that? There's spoilers.
I got a spoiler for you guys.
What's that?
Darth Vader is Luke's father.
No way! Oh, you ruined it. I didn't get through the movie yet.
It's been like 4 decades, so I figure
I know,
it's okay.
All right. I'm a little late to the part. It's been on the list. I just didn't quite finish it. Anyways, back at the rant. Marcus, you were going to talk about something you've been doing this week. You broke Marcus.
I didn't expect that. That was great. Anyway, I'm laughing so hard that I'm sweating.
I know. I can see it.
Yeah. Anyway, real life has been insane. So in my world, doing
carpentry
and cabinetry and furniture and stuff, the push for Christmas is crazy. So you get the last minute people who are like, hey, do you think I could get my kitchen done before Christmas? And it's November 1st. You're like, no, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Like
I started a project on September 26th, I think. And it's a kitchen remodel and it finishes tomorrow. So right. It was supposed to be done for Christmas and it will be. And this project went as smooth could be. It took 12 weeks.
Right.
Or whatever the start
time. And that's a pretty standard issue time frame.
It's 12 weeks to do a kitchen. But anyway, so there's that. So I'm super geared into that and like catching up on day-to-day projects, like little stuff. And then a designer that I work for calls me and says, hey, a customer of mine really wants a table made. You think you can make me 2 tables? And this is last week. And have them ready for Christmas. I'm like, what? Like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah. Start
and she's like, yeah, sorry. Here's the color schemes.
Good luck.
I'll talk to you maybe Friday. So I've been working like crazy. And with the kids, you know, life before, with one kid, life was pretty easy because I could just, you know, come home for dinner and just leave right away.
Right.
And now with 2 kids, one of them's got to go to bed while the baby's screaming and all this stuff. So I got to take care of them.
Yeah, it takes
my wife.
It takes 2 people.
It's yes.
So 2 persons.
I don't leave to go back to work until like 8 o'clock at night. Right. And then I'm there until midnight. So I'm just fucking whooped. But I got the tables done, delivered. People are thrilled. Everybody's happy. And then, as you guys all know, that I did my kitchen.
Right.
But of course, I didn't finish like the cabinets or the kitchen itself are done. But I didn't finish some trim and I didn't paint some walls.
Yep.
So my wife was like, look it. We're having 20 Greeks in the house on Christmas.
What up?
All of the trim and everything needs to be painted. I'm like, I have two tables to make. She's like, I don't care.
And she's like, get it done.
You want these people here? Get it done. I'm like, all right, perfect. So anyway, so it's been insane work in real life.
Yeah.
Then gaming. And first thing I'm going to say is I stood up in my out of my computer chair and just had like the touchdown thing. But with my closed fist, like almost like Rocky at the top of the hill when he like, runs up the stairs. Ba, 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 you know? And when I saw Malgus.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He's my favorite tune, my favorite character. He's just like, he's the we wanted to stop him before in the story, but he actually like wanted to like bring diversity to the Empire and like,
right.
Like allow aliens and all these like different species. And like, he wanted to do good things for the Empire, but like
that way
we were so wrapped up in the Emperor's bullshit that, you know, we had to stop him.
Right.
So when I saw him come back, I was so happy, and he looks bad fucking to the bone.
Yeah. He looks really cool.
As soon as I got it, I took a picture on my phone because I still to this day don't know how to get a good screenshot. Well, I do, but
it's
then
just
I don't
Windows print screen.
Oh, I always hit print screen and it doesn't do anything.
No, you hit the Windows key and then print screen. Do it right now. I can't believe this.
Wait a minute. Oh, there's the print screen.
Oh, Windows, print screen.
Nope, didn't work. Anyway, I don't care. We're getting off topic because I'm going to forget what I'm going to say. Me. But anyway, I was so excited, and I have only done the story on my Imperial tune.
Yep.
My Marauder, duh. And story was great. Osis is beautiful. I like what they did. Later on, we're going to talk about the stupid fucking dailies. The dailies themselves are great. And I understand BioWare wants you to like run around the planet and like do a bunch of things. But as Sweet Brown said, ain't nobody got time for that. You right. know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But anyways, I played a shit ton of Battlefront 2. Yes. Loot Box Town Battlefront 2. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about that later. And if you guys are listening to this and you want to help Nick and I, on December 28th this month, we can apply for our PAX East press passes.
Yes.
And I've put it in my Google Doc for three reminders. I've told Nick to put it in his Google Doc for three reminders.
Yep.
If you guys can put it in your Google Docs for reminders, that would be awesome.
Yeah, just tweet us.
Yeah, tweet us, email me, message me on Discord. I don't care that it's December 28th because I really don't want to not get our press passes.
Right.
Because this year's PAX is going to be awesome because we're going for 3 days.
Yep.
And last year was great because we got to talk to people. But I feel like if we have the media passes, then we're going to be able to get private time
right.
on some of those games. Remember that stupid fucking game? Mother Gunship?
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, but the like, developer was cool. I feel bad crapping on his game. Sorry if we see him again. But I did not like that one.
Well, either way, but we would have gotten like a private session with the guy.
Right. And we could have talked about it more. Maybe I would have.
You get like 15 minutes. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, instead of like 2 minutes.
And I could have told him that his game's fucking stupid. right there. Right. You know what I mean? Right. Like, anyway. So that's pretty much what's been going on for me. But there was some a bunch of SOTOR news. The one awesome thing is we got a new layer boss on the PTS for Osis,
now,
which a layer boss, for anybody who doesn't know, is like one ops boss, but it's instant. So you have to enter the space,
right?
Almost like the Taboros Courtyard and the Colossal Monolith or whatever, or Worldbreaker Monolith. I don't know. It's one of the two.
So it's like instead of a world boss where anybody can just walk up to it and start killing it.
Correct. You go into an instance.
Yeah. And then it's only you or the people with you killing it.
Yep.
Okay, that's cool.
So, you know, it's just exceeding expectations because they were like, okay, we're not getting everybody a new operation.
Right.
But we're going to give them a new layer boss.
That's sweet.
Yeah, I was pretty excited. You want to read this first section of it?
Sure. We got a message from Matt. talking about the new layer boss, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And some gear updates, looks like, later, but I don't know if you want me to read that. Well, anyways, I'll just dive right into it.
Just the first part.
From Matt. Oh, hi there. Welcome to our little PTS layer boss shindig. So nice of you to stop by. As is tradition, we have a variety of utility terminals on the PTS server, as well as gear vendors that will help you quickly create a character, get to level 70, get geared, and get to testing, which in this case will be the Hive of the Mountain Queen lair boss.
That's sweet. So basically, that, you know, a Hive of the Mountain
Queen.
Queen.
Lair boss. Do you want me to keep going?
Sure.
Here's the general
flow. Oh, no, we don't need to talk about how to get there.
Oh, okay.
Can you talk about the, I'll just say it. Walk into the phase gate at the end of the light bridge to nowhere at the Odessan landing to enter in to the Hive of the Mountain Queen lair area, which is great. And then they gave us two difficulty targets. What are they, Nick?
The difficulty targets are story mode's gear target should be covered by bolster. So long as you've got your gear slots filled, you should be good to go. Veteran mode is targeted for fully augmented tier 4 legendary or 248 gear.
That's perfect.
Anything else?
Well, you can read the rest.
Sure. Natural access. For those of you interested in finding your way to the lair naturally, the entrance can be found on Ossus or the Ossus Canyons area right around 1200,600. State of the lair. The boss encounter itself, mutated Geonosian and Queen, is mechanics complete and balanced. Final aesthetic tweaking of FX is still ongoing, but art and animations should be most of the way there, so it's pretty much all fair game for feedback. The Hive of the Mountain Queen environment is likewise largely finished, and I, for one, think it looks pretty amazing. So that's all fair game, too. Non-boss encounters are still a work in progress. This includes the placement of encounters, the size and type of the enemies present, the abilities of those enemies that those enemies are using. Take what you see there with a grain of salt. Feel free to give feedback on what's there, but don't be surprised if you find some jankiness in there. See you on the PTS. Sincerely, Matt Pusevich. How do you say his last
name? Pusevich.
Matt Pusevich.
So, which is great. So, I think, you know, they're basically putting it in our hands. So they've got the boss, but, you know, so the trash before you get there, they're saying, look at, let's play it and see how you guys like it. If it's too much or it's too hard.
Right.
Or, you know, because I feel like the trash should be like a perfect balance of enough to where it's a little bit of a challenge to get there. So it does, you don't just walk into a boss.
Right.
But at the same time, it shouldn't take you 20 minutes to walk through the trash to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. And then, you know, a lot of people like to stealth and do all that stuff. They want to stealth all the way to the boss, but like kill the trash. I think that's just a part of the instance.
Or I think stealthing, it should be relatively difficult if you want to do that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like it should take some learning and finagling to if you want to stealthily get by it. Cause I think that option's pretty cool to be able to stealthily get by and not have to, but it should be like substantially more challenging, I think.
Yeah. So basically, they came out with some patch notes. I don't know if we need to talk about it all. I think it got updated today. BC, do you know if it got updated today or not?
Yeah, they posted the official patch notes,
mm-hmm.
but they were pretty much the same.
Yeah, so they finally – so there were some buggy things. Yep. You know, I know one of the Ossus dailies, the Jedi artifacts were bugged. You couldn't click on them.
Yeah.
So you couldn't do that one daily mission.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, if that's all that broke in this giant update, okay.
That's no big deal.
I'm not even upset about it.
Right.
And at the same time, they wanted to fix the big stuff. Like BC said, the world boss credits,
yep.
stuff like that. And we'll talk about that later. They wanted to fix that before the holiday break because everybody knows corporate America's shut down now.
Yeah.
As of tomorrow. Nobody's talking to anybody until January 4th or whatever day, or January 3rd when everybody comes back.
Right.
And even then, probably until that following week is when the world comes back from this like hiatus.
Vacation land, yeah.
But is there Santa Claus in Australia? Because the North Pole of Australia is pretty far.
he wears swimming trunks and rides a surfboard.
Okay. Awesome.
Wow, that's like he's like wakeboarding because the reindeer pull him on his surfboard.
They turn into magic sharks instead, or dolphins.
Mega Shark.
Mega Sharks.
The one of the strangest things actually is that a lot of the Northern Hemisphere's winter Christmas traditions end up in Australia as well, which actually makes no sense because it's like 90 degrees and sunny and everyone's at the beach. So
right, because that's your summer, right?
I didn't really realize it growing up, but it's actually quite funny that they haven't switched things around, so it makes a little more sense.
Right, right.
But yeah. when I spent my first Christmas in the US, it was really fun, and I felt like a little kid because there was snow, and I was, oh, this makes so much more sense.
Right. All the, like, the Christmas songs and stuff are all about the snow and being by the fire and chestnuts roasting and all that fun stuff. But that doesn't really vibe with summer climates.
Yeah. So if all this sounds fun to you, which, fuck.
How could it not?
Go to aie-guild.org and get our Discord information and jump into the SOTOR channel and ask for a guild invite. An officer like myself or BC can get you in. But, you know, there's this guy, his name's Dent. He's really good at inviting into the guild.
Yeah, all the officers can do it, but Dent is the best at it. So specifically, ask for Dent. Otherwise,
Hold out. Yeah. Just hold out a little while until Dent can get you in.
It's all about the Dent experience.
Yeah.
He's the Masterson of guild invites.
You finally did it. You finally recognized it. That's so great. It only took 20 fucking episodes, but you got it.
Remembered on my own to say that?
Yes. So we would love to have you. If you listen to us, this is how we are all the time. I think I'm a little more energetic than everybody else.
I would say that's accurate.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But we're all like me, and we all like to have fun, and we want you to come play with us because it's fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, Nick, you want to take a break?
Absolutely. I got to pee.
All right.
We'll be right back. And we're back. So today we have a few great topics to discuss. Like I said at the start of the episode, we're going to go over 5.10, some Red Dead Online stuff, Battlefront 2, yes, Battlefront 2, and the Zim Apex, which is a dongle that may or may not be cheating, and we'll get into that afterwards. So let's start with 5.10. Marcus and BC, what do you guys think?
Okay, I'll just say, BC, do you think 1 out of 10, what do you think? 10's the best, 1's the worst. How do you rate OSIS in 5.10?
So far, I'd say 9. The reason that I don't say 10 is just some of the bugs, which I think the patch today will hopefully clear up. But I really enjoyed it. It's the most fun that I've had since maybe Shadow of Revan and some of the earlier expansions.
Wow,
that's
really high praise.
Yeah, that's really, really high praise. I would say I'm going to give it an 8.2.
Okay.
And the reason why the 0.2 is because I enjoyed the story, but the dailies are fucking terrible.
They're boring.
Well, it's not that. So in the rest of the game, you go to a place, you click one terminal, and you click daily, 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 weekly. You click that.
Right.
OSIS, you go to this board, and you click all dailies. Right. So I did that, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to do 10 dailies, and I'm going to get my credit. No, there's fucking two droids in the back that show the repeatable sign.
Yeah.
That you have to click in order to get the weekly. So I did all these fucking dailies, didn't get a weekly.
Oh,
and I'm like, this is the stupidest fucking thing in the world. Like, I understand.
Just put it all in one spot.
You want to stretch out the content. You want to make people enjoy all of the content. Just put it in one fucking place. It's dailies.
Right.
And I know that's such a small part.
Right.
But it's stupid. Then the second part is you can't even share it. So if me and BC want to do them together and we're out in the middle of the planet and I don't have the daily that he has,
right?
He can't even share it with me.
Oh, right. Yeah, you and I have shared dailies before.
Correct.
On other planets.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tatooine.
Right.
We did the dailies on Tatooine. I shared them to you as we went and then we clicked the button and went to it.
Right.
And I understand again, they want you to experience the planet and they're trying to extend the life of it, but make it fucking easier for us to enjoy it.
Right.
Like, everything should be on one board. Then, if you want to make it even more intense, then once you shuttle to these areas like speeder points,
yep,
they have more droids there to get more dailies.
Yeah, that would so be like, cool.
So I can see it, but no, just give us everything in one place.
Concise location.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so then if you simplification wanna... is the best way to do it.
I get you.
Yeah, I get how that would be easier. The not being able to share missions, though, is a known bug, which they said that they're working to fix.
Oh, so there's a bug.
You should definitely be able to share the missions.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. They're on the dev tracker, they acknowledged that that was a bug. You should be able to share the missions.
Huh. Okay. Well, now...
Now you'll adjust your score accordingly.
Right. So I was thinking simplification because I was thinking of Tyrans. Thinking about Tyrans, the Dread Palace boss, where the every time he does simplification, the floor disappears underneath you. Anyway, it's rant.
It's way over my head.
Yeah, rant. Anyway, but to the dailies. I had fun. The planet is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It looks great.
One thing I do like about the planet is when you go to the other dailies, I'll do my Marauder leap in.
Yeah.
Before I even hit them, they're already dead. Like the here, like some of the regular enemies, I actually start to do my rotation before they die.
Oh, that's cool.
Which to me is like, okay, they're actually
hard.
No, there's like you've got to work for it. Like they're not going to fucking kill you.
Right.
But at least it's not one hit dead.
Right.
And some people are complaining about that, but people complain about everything.
Yeah, you got to up the enemies a little bit.
But the biggest gripe I have is put the weekly on the board.
Right.
Because it's an extra 12 seconds that you don't need to do, and it's not going to make me enjoy it anymore.
Right.
Keep it simple. What do they say? Keep it simple, stupid?
Mm-hmm. Yep. The KISS principle.
Yep. Anyway,
so the ops boss that is to come, is there any rumors or anything you'd like to talk about?
I haven't seen it. There's a new SOTOR website. Have you heard of The Expanse, BC?
I have, and I've read the books.
Oh.
Well, no, not the TV show.
Oh.
It's a new SOTOR website.
Oh, by designer Lucy?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a fantastic resource. There's some great, great stuff up on that site.
Well, she posted something on YouTube that was her in the Lair boss, and she kind of ran through and like kind of stealthed around to see like so you could see it. I only saw a small part of it. It's pretty cool. I think she's doing a cool job with the whole website. The only thing, my only criticism is I think it's the wrong name. You know, just because The Expanse is such a big TV show and like you said, book and all that stuff, like it kind of like you go to YouTube and type in Expanse. It's nowhere around because,
yeah, that's
a TV show and all like the podcasts about it or whatever.
Right.
Take over that. So right. I think she's kind of battling against a wall there, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Banging her head against the wall.
Yes. So I don't really know much about it.
Mm-hmm.
I like that OSIS has Geonosians. Geonosians, whatever. Again, because I thought in episode 2, they were a cool enemy.
Right.
You know, flying around, dirty bugs. And, you know, they had cool weapons that shot like smoke rings.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. Whatever. But people, I like the prequels.
Oh boy, you just know you like stirring the pot.
No, I really like okay, Phantom Menace. Yeah, the pod racing was dumb.
Yeah,
but the lightsaber battles were awesome. Darth Maul.
That's true. That fight is one of my favorites in the whole series. One of the
second best Sith in all of Star Wars.
I know. I wish there was more in of right in the movies.
Number one best Sith is Darth Malgus.
That's true.
You know, I like Revan, cool, like whatever, Knights of the Old Republic, cool, Darth Malak, cool. They don't.
I like Darth Bane's pretty cool, too.
Darth Bane is the man, but Malgus is legit.
Yeah.
You must have liked the Ossus story then, Marcus.
I fucking loved it. So, like I said in my weekly update, that I did the Imperial side. What did you say, Loyalist? Yeah, I sided with the – I like the Empire –
So you sided with Malgus?
Yep. I was on the Empire side. I think Darth Malora, she was just she was the craziest lady alive, dude. When she came out, she just looked, you know, when they have like crazy eyes.
Oh yeah, they're just slightly
too wide. You see crazy eyes and you just turn around and walk the other way.
Well, usually I see him at work with the psych patients and I have to make sure they don't try to escape. But yes, I am very familiar with the crazy eyes look, that's for sure.
So she came out, she was crazy, and then all of a sudden you have to retrieve this like pod.
Yeah.
It almost looks like an escape pod. And like they were opening, they're like, we don't know what's in it. And I'm drum rolling to myself like air drums. Like, please be Malgus. Please be Malgus. Please be Malgus. Because I don't believe in reading data mining or anything. I don't like, I like surprises.
Yeah.
I fucking love surprises.
I do too. Especially like, good stuff like that.
Yeah. Like, I don't care what you get me for Christmas. I like the surprise.
Right.
The anticipation of opening the present and opening it up. Like, even if it's a giant dildo.
Like, yeah.
I'm still going to be excited until I see it. Right.
Right. Right,
and I'll just be like, ah. But what I'm trying to say is Malgus popped out and I jumped up in the chair. I was like, yeah, ah! You know what I mean? I went crazy.
Right.
Because like he's my favorite fucking character.
Yeah.
And then.
And he's back.
Right. And he's back in attack. And a good friend of mine, I'm not going to call him out because I won't do it, but he knows who I'm talking about. He called me the next day after it was released. He's like, did you play it? It's like, yeah. He's like, what did you think? I was like, I'm fucking great. Well, it was okay. And I was like, what did you just say to me? And he's like, Marcus, take Malgus out. What did you think? I think it was fucking great. What is wrong with you? And he's like, they're just rehashing another Revan story. Revan was dead, and now we brought him back. And we're going to bring him back again.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. He was dead. And we killed Malgus, and now he's back. I was like, yeah, but in Star Wars fashion, if you fall down a cylinder,
yeah,
like a ventilation shaft, you're not dead.
Right.
Luke fell down one, survived by his fingertip and using the force with Leia. And, you know,
the Emperor.
No, Darth Maul.
Oh, yeah. Darth Maul survived.
Yeah.
He got chopped in half and he still survived.
Yeah. And the Emperor is still alive.
He could still be alive.
Conspiracy theory, Snoke is the Emperor.
We just destroyed the mic. Sorry about that.
I'm sorry. This whole show just went to shit. I'm sorry. I just went on this crazy rant.
No, anyway, there are a few reasons that I like the story, not actually related to Malgus, although I did enjoy Malgus coming back, because on every single one of my Imperial tunes, when I played through the Ilum story arc, I wanted to support him because of what he was, the way that he was trying to change the Empire, and I wasn't able to. So I was super excited about him coming back as well. But I also enjoyed it for a few other reasons. The first was what we talked about a little earlier in the episode, that you could be a loyalist or a saboteur. And at the moment, obviously, there's not much of a difference between the two because you're just sort of starting out. But some of my tunes, for example, my assassin started out as a slave and really hasn't liked the Empire the whole time. And so the saboteur story is a perfect fit for her. She finally has a chance to sabotage the Empire from the shadows. And then, so those four storylines, where a lot of people wanted to go back to Empire versus Republic and have two, one for each faction, but we actually got four. So that was exciting. Then I really enjoyed the way that they told the story as you went along. So one of the things that I really disliked about the Knights of the expansions was you would play for 5 minutes and kill 10 things or find five things or whatever. And then there would be a 5 minute movie or a 10 minute movie, and you'd sit there and you would occasionally make a dialogue choice. And they were really great movies and it was an interesting story, but it just didn't feel like you had much agency and it was broken up a lot. And then starting with Osis, the way that they told the story was there might be a short movie, but mostly that they would be chatting to you as you were doing the missions, or after you finished a mission, there would be like 30 seconds or a minute of information about Tau Adair and her background and the issues she was struggling with, or Major Henri, and the jokes she would tell and all of the subtle criticism she would make of her superiors in the Sith. So I really enjoyed the way that they told the story as you went along, as opposed to having to pause and then watch something for a while and then come back. And I loved the new NPCs. Tower Dare, I thought, was really interesting and had a bit of a different story. She wasn't the same as any of the other Jedi that you'd run into on Tython or during the class stories. And then Major Anri was really interesting as well, because it was the first time you got to know an Imperial trooper. And some of the jokes she told were really funny, the way that she would make fun of Melora. And I felt like both of them had a lot of depth that we hadn't necessarily seen in some of the recent NPCs. So I really enjoyed it. I'm excited to spend a bit more time, hopefully, with Tower Dare, help her to resolve her issues around feeling like she's responsible for a lot of what's happened, and spend more time with Major Anri and make fun of the Sith and the other people who aren't very good at their jobs with her.
The Major Anri, what I liked about her is I felt like at the end of the story, I was connected to her, right? I wanted to be, I'm going to say it like this, like I wanted to be her friend, right?
Yeah.
But she's not my companion. So right. She was a story companion only.
Right.
So now I'm hoping that the next story she gets to be
like an actual companion.
No, like a partial companion. So now you're wanting her to be a companion. See, for all the game, you've always gotten these companions and they just throw them at you, but you have no emotional attachment to them.
Yeah, because
now
they're
I've gone to battle with this woman.
Yeah.
And she's made me laugh. And one of her the comments she makes, I don't know what it is, but I laugh every time I hear it, because we won't be doing anything and she'll be like, "For the Empire," and we're like, "We're just standing in the middle of Ossus. Why are you screaming?" You know what I mean? Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But what's great is it eventually I think we'll get her as a companion. And when we do, I'm gonna want to use that companion because I feel like I'm emotionally attached to that companion.
This was the first time, I think, probably since I played the original class stories, that I really felt a strong attachment to someone like that.
Right.
I was really impressed with the new NPCs.
Yeah.
I am. For me, obviously, I haven't played it because I'm not there yet.
You haven't finished Red Dead.
Once I finish Red Dead, that's my next game. But I'm going to finish all the expansions in SOTOR. But I can kind of get this answer from you guys because you both played it. But I'm interested to see where Jaysa pops up in the story. I don't know. They said she was in this at subcapacity.
Right. So for me,
you have light side, Jaysa.
That's the only side.
Not for me. I had dark side, Jaysa.
It does not compute.
Well, what made me think of Jaysa was you guys saying like you actually care about a character. And that's why I've used Jaysa as my companion throughout all of my playing
since
I got her to begin with, because like I had Vet to begin with, and then I got Jason. I was like, oh, she's kind of strong. It makes more sense to have a Jedi companion. Or not, well, a Force-using companion, I should say.
You just thought she was hotter.
That too. She was hotter, and she had a dual lightsaber, and she used the Force. So I was like, okay, all three checks. But and then you get story development with her over a long period of time, and it makes you want to keep using him. So
right.
I get that entirely.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see where she pops up again.
Well. So I'm not going to spoil that for you.
Okay.
Because for me on the light side, I was just strolling in all gangster-like.
Yeah, and she like, fucked your shit up.
No, and she was like, oh, hey, master. I'm like, whoa, what's up? I missed you. And we chat a little bit, and then she's back with me.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Jace's light side Jace is awesome. Anyway. Something else that we've gotten from 5.10 is a new guild system. And we don't have to break it completely down, but I think that the guilds as a whole needed a revamp.
Mm-hmm.
And something that they've done with this is where they've tied conquest to this new guild leveling system.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can level up your guild. And almost like in Call of Duty, where you, as you play, you level up, you get a new perk. So I remember back in the day, Martyrdom, I remember the grenade drops on the ground and it's like an instant kill for the guy whoever, running over you because right. he's an idiot and he just runs over a grenade.
Right.
And it was like a race to get to level whatever to get that perk.
Right, because everyone was getting like, even when you died, you'd get a quick kill and then exactly. start your kill streak.
Yeah, exactly.
Like with one up for the next time you spawned.
Exactly. So it's almost like that. And one thing in BC and Zen are our guild liaisons with Conquest. You know, what did you call me? I'm the cheerleader of AIE?
Yeah, I would
say
so.
They actually have work to do. I just talk.
Right.
And there's one that I'm really intrigued about. It's an all res. So yep. when the ops team wipes, we're just going to be able to click one button and everybody's alive. So no running back to the,
to the nice. Boss.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to
it. So do you start the boss fight over again?
Yeah, so everybody gets rezzed in the room.
Oh, so you don't have to go through all the way back.
That's the way I understand it. You're just going to rezz in the room, and then you're going to run backwards
and start the fight over.
Oh, so you don't have to run back.
Oh, that's nice.
Is that how it works, BC?
I haven't tried it yet. So that was my understanding of how it worked as well. One of the things that caught a lot of people out, I think, is just how expensive some of these perks are. It's going to take a lot of credits and a lot of time to be able to unlock them and then keep them running. So it might actually be a good credit sink for the game. Use up some of those credits in everyone's that are just sitting in everyone's guild banks.
Right. I think it's great. Mm-hmm. And I like that the perks only last 2 weeks. So they're not permanent.
Oh, that's nice. So you can't have people, a bunch of people involved in the guild and then just not do anything after.
Well, it's not just that. It's so all the rich people stay rich and they just buy the perk and they have it forever.
Right, that's what
you
I mean.
You have to keep buying the perk.
Right.
And what if this all res sucks? What if it's terrible? Okay, so we try it for 2 weeks and then we get rid of it.
And then you don't spend money on it again, yeah.
Correct. And for us with the imp side and the pub side, it almost allows us to spend a couple weeks here and a couple weeks on the imp and a couple weeks on the pub.
Right.
And then that, again, diversifies the groups.
Right.
It allows for a bit of a meta game as well because, for example, in our guild, we used to do 1 week imp side, 1 week pub side, and we'd alternate between the two. But then there was, at least on the PTS, it's not in game just yet, but they might be introducing a perk that increases points earned from conquest by 5%. And because that is active for 2 weeks, then maybe we should focus on one side for 2 weeks, activate that perk, then focus on the other side for 2 weeks and activate the perk on that side to be more cost effective.
Yes.
So there's all sorts of things you can do. For example, if you have a group of people who like to craft in the crafting weeks for Conquest, there are a bunch of perks related to increasing your efficiency, increasing your crit rate for crafting. So the weeks when there's a bunch of repeatable crafting objectives in Conquest would be a good time to put those ones in. I enjoy the fact that they've created this whole other element of strategy that people can work towards that isn't going to go away or get old after, you know, you've played it a couple times, which the story does, obviously. I mean, I mostly play for the story, but you can only play it a certain number of times and then it sort of gets old. Whereas the leveling process that they've created for guilds and all of these different combinations of perks that you can activate have created something that'll keep going and keep being relevant and exciting well into next year.
Yeah. Something else that they did, speaking of crafting, which I don't know anything about, you know, I one of the guys on my ops team, the Death Star Troopers, busted my ass. He's like, you should have learned how to craft at like level 2. And I was like, yeah.
It definitely was what in one of the 4,000 tutorials that popped up.
Yeah, I didn't.
I just skimmed it and was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, you should just watch Swoderista's videos. They're much better than the tutorials in game.
Yeah,
I could do that
again.
Marcus is like, I'm never going to craft. I'm just gonna have someone else do it for me.
But it sucks because, like, I feel like I let the team down because I don't do it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I do,
but I don't.
You don't want to?
Yeah.
If you don't want to, don't do it. It's a game.
Right, but enjoy. So that's easy for you to say because you're like the conquest guru, right? Where me, I'm just the guy that talks in the background and brings smiles to people's faces where, you know, they're like, fuck this guy. Yeah, he's a nice guy and he's always doing fun things, but
he doesn't contribute to the
guild at all.
I don't think that's true at all. You're always organizing Mega, which is lots of fun and brings in a different group of people than we might normally have. You run ops three times a week at least?
Yeah.
I don't run ops at all. So I think you just contribute in a different way and an equally great way. I mean, your energy is part of the reason why people stay and do stuff in the guild.
You shouldn't have used it like that because Nick's now going to call me the cheerleader.
Oh, yeah.
He's already calling you the cheerleader.
Yeah.
I didn't start that.
You've had that role in every organization that I've known you to be in. Like when we were on the same paintball team many, many moons ago, and yes, we played paintball together, we would call you the cheerleader of the team then too.
I guess so.
And then when we worked together, you were the cheerleader of the construction
Well, because I had to fucking motivate you to move, and I'm like, come on, man, we're almost
done. Yeah, you did it for everybody.
Yeah.
When other people were grumpy, you would pump them up.
Yeah, that's true.
Same thing with AIE.
Yeah, so speaking of this, and something you just said, BC, that you don't do, you don't really do ops. So I want to talk to you about gear.
Mm-hmm.
So when 4.0 came out in the Knights of the Fallen Empire and Knights of the Eternal Throne,
yep,
the expansion that you're about to do, Nick,
yep,
came out, they introduced a new gearing system, which was the command crates and all that stuff, where you got a box and you prayed you got the gear.
Yeah.
And the old way was you did some things and you earned this and you got the gear.
Right.
They're bringing that back. So for me, I'm kind of torn on it because I understand a gear grind and I know why they did it because they needed this expansion to last for months to come,
mm-hmm,
right? They needed people to grind and enjoy it and keep people happy for months because obviously nothing is coming out for months.
Right. Yeah. Cause they put a bunch of time into this.
Correct. Yeah. So we used to get it RNG through these command crates,
mm-hmm,
which I liked that way of dropping gear because it allowed people like BC to earn the best gear in the game.
Yeah, without having to play parts of the game that they don't want to do.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right? So they come out with this new tier of gear, and the only way to get the highest, highest, highest tier is you have to do the hardest content to earn these crafting materials, and then you have to craft the pieces.
Right.
Which I think is fine, because if you do the hardest content in the game, you should have the easiest path to get that gear.
Right. Or at least most direct.
Correct.
Yeah.
I believe that.
And the point that you just made about most direct, Nick, I think is how I feel about it. My general philosophy is with gearing that everyone should be able to get the best gear, but people who do the most challenging content should be able to get it faster. Because
right,
there's got to be a reward for doing the most challenging content, right?
Right.
So
right.
One of the things that I like about the way that they've structured the new tiers of gear with the Jedi Under Siege expansion is that if you're running Nightmare Mode Gods from the Machine, which is much harder than any other content in the game, or you're running ranked and playing a lot of ranked PvP, then it's mm-hmm going to be much quicker for you to get the gear than it is if you're just like me and you do the dailies multiple times a week and you kill the world bosses and you do some conquest, which it should be.
Right.
But I can still get the gear. I mean, I already have three pieces of 252 gear on my pub side main and three on my imp side main because
wow,
there's a one-time mission that I did last week on both of them that gives you a main hand or an off hand. And then there's also...
Where the hell did you get that?
It's called Flesh and Steel. It's a one-time mission. If you kill both the world bosses on Osus.
I saw it and I didn't click it because the world bosses were bugged.
I've got credit for them 50% of the time. I feel pretty fortunate because one guy I was running with a couple nights ago said he'd done it 5 times on Tuesday night and only got credit the 5th time. So 50% was a pretty good ratio.
50% of the time it works all the time.
So there's that one time mission, and then the weekly for completing 10 dailies gives you a choice of 3 different lockboxes.
Oh, yeah.
As well. So I've already got 3 252 pieces on these tunes, and it'll take me, probably 4 months. And then I'll save up from buying with unassembled components. I'll buy one Masterwork Data Crystal a week, and then killing the world bosses gives me another one. If the limited time mission is a PvE thing like flashpoints, then I'll probably get a third a week, and I'll use those Masterwork Data Crystals to upgrade the 252s to 258. So it'll probably take me 3 or 4 months to gear out those 2 tunes, but I'm fine with that. I don't actually need the top level gear, so I'm not in a particular rush to get it. But I do like the fact that I can, because I'm not the best player in the game. I'm probably average, and so it's nice to have better gear because then playing is easier. So the fact that if you're playing the most challenging content, you can get the gear the quickest, I think is a great way to design it, because at the same time, there are other avenues for people to get the gear. It takes a bit longer if you just want to do the easier content, but you still can get it. So I think overall it's pretty good system, and it's sort of where the Galactic Command system ended up, right? At the start, it was definitely terrible. a lot more RNG in it, but over time it got much better, so that it was at a point where you could run ops and get gear, or you could run PvP and get gear, and you could also rely on the RNG of the command crates. In the end, I geared up to full 248s and 240 augments and everything, partially through the Galactic Command crates and partially through unassembled components that you get by disintegrating stuff. So, and now I'm using those unassembled components that I got by disintegrating stuff to buy Masterwork Data Crystals to upgrade this new set of gear. So I like the fact that there's a range of different ways to get the gear, including crafting. I mean, I might end up, I have some ridiculous, hundreds of millions worth of credits that I don't have any particular use for. So maybe I'll buy some expensive components at some point that people have actually got through running Nightmare Mode Gods from the machine and upgrade stuff, but probably won't bother.
Okay.
Because I don't need it.
I need you to do me a favor once you're in game. Mm-hmm. Okay. Go to your mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Type compose or send. The tune name is Mark-USB.
And then, I know the one.
Yeah, or Julia B will accept as well. Okay. You can type in where send credits. There's a button where you can type numbers in. Feel free to send me hundreds of millions of credits, because I would love that. So, and then click send. Don't forget the send button. Checks in the mail, just like what all the YouTubers say. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Don't forget the send button. Yeah. Getting off topic, you really need to talk about reviewing us on.
I haven't said it in a long time.
I know.
I'll just plug it right now. Hey, so you can leave us any. You can say whatever you want when you review Working Class Nerds, as long as it has 5 stars on iTunes. So go to iTunes. Go to the Working Class Nerds page, leave us a review, click 5 stars, and then it's your free message board to say whatever you want. I don't care if you say the podcast sucks. I don't care if you type your version of the Odyssey, your life's work. You can just hit ASDFGHJKL, a semicolon if you want, 400 times. But as long as it's 5 stars, we don't care. Please go do that early and often. Thank
you. Okay, next up is Red Dead Online. I wanted to mention this because we talk about MMOs so much.
Yep.
With SOTOR and other games and RPGs. So Red Dead Online is a lot like the Grand Theft Auto Online.
Yep.
Where you go into the Red Dead map, mm-hmm. and everybody in the map is a person.
Yep. And it's open PvP, I think.
No.
Did somebody say something?
No, I think you have to allow somebody to hit you.
I think
Like, if they shoot you or want to shoot you, you have to click accept or something, because then you duel or something. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry for smashing my computer. Anyway, so I've been watching a couple videos on this.
Yep.
It actually looks pretty cool.
Yeah, a lot of people have been, like via the subreddit, I saw a lot of people get together for like fight clubs. So I think there must be some way people can shoot you when you don't want them to, because there's a lot of people complaining about griefers, which I didn't realize what that term meant. But a griefer is somebody that just indiscriminately goes around killing like players. So people were getting together via the Red Dead Redemption subreddit and just having like fist fight clubs. And then they would meet in like a building or like on a rooftop. And then people would stand guard with guns and like kill people who are trying to, you know, crash the party and be jerks about it.
Oh, that's funny.
So there must be some kind of like, you know, unwanted PvP component, but it sounds pretty cool. But I guess there's some major issues with the economy for it.
Big time.
Yeah. I guess they're trying to iron out. Like, I know they just gave people a bunch of gold. There's like gold bars, which are the cartel coins, basically.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, you got to pay real money to get those, and then there's the dollars that are, you know, in-game currency, like credits for SOTOR. But I guess I forgot the actual numbers, but they were working on, it's supposed to be just a beta, so they're still ironing out the details of the economy, but it was, when it first launched, it was absolutely pay to win. Like, it would take forever to do anything. You got, like, almost no money for doing, like, real missions, like robbing a place or something like that, and then you'd get, like, the most money you could get was, like, hunting, like, getting a perfect pelt, like, getting rare fish or skinning, like, a deer and having a perfect pelt, which is tricky to do that. And then you'd get, like, $10 or something, which is, like, a decent amount in the game. But, or you could just buy gold coins. So it was really pay to win. I think they're working on balancing it, but it's they're working out the tweaks of making Red Dead more of an MMO-style game, which that's really fun. I haven't gotten time. Like, I want to, like I said before, I want to finish the story of Red Dead before I move on to online or move on to back into SOTOR. So I don't know exactly, but I'm active on the subreddit, and Al has played Red Dead Online, friend of the podcast. Al was on last episode, and Dent has checked it out as well, and they were saying that the economy needs major tweaks.
I understand a lot of the pay-to-win stuff. I mean, I don't think you should pay for power, but I understand. So a game like Red Dead, you go to the store and you pay $60 for it.
Yeah.
They give you however many hours of a story to play, but they don't get any more money.
Right.
That's it. You pay it once.
Right.
And I don't – why do video games still cost $60?
Yeah, I'm surprised they don't cost more.
Right. So they've been $60 since the Xbox 360.
Right.
Because when they went from PlayStation 2 and the original Xbox to the 360, it went from $50 to $60.
Right.
Why don't games cost $70 now?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
And a rumor I heard, and I don't know this, it said there was legislation back in when Bill Clinton was the president that like made it like video games can't cost more than $60. Wow. I don't know if that's true. I need to go to like
The Google
and find that out.
Right.
And I'm not going to do that right now, but I heard that. I don't know. BC, do you know why games cost $60 and they don't cost more?
I don't. I'd be surprised if there's legislation fixing the price of video games. That doesn't sound right, but it could also be technological advancement. So for example, with personal computers, what had been happening was everyone over time wanted more and more powerful computers. And then they reached a point somewhat recently that people, not everyone, but people started not necessarily wanting fancier and fancier PCs anymore, but they wanted the same thing that they had before, but cheaper, because everything became so advanced that you didn't need something that was even more powerful really to do most of what you wanted. And so things started getting cheaper for the same kind of product. So part of it could be something similar happening with video games, where they're getting more efficient at making something, and so they haven't needed to raise the price. It could also be just more competition.
Maybe.
Because there's a lot of new market entrants. There's more indie games. They're also finding it really hard to charge a large amount of upfront for a game, because there's so many free-to-play options and so many subscriber-based games where the barrier to entry is so much lower. And so it's really hard. I mean, your game could be the best game ever, but if it costs $60 or $70, then it's really hard to get people in. If they can just go, well, I'd rather play this game that's free, And then if I like it, I could pay some money for it. Or, oh, I'm going to pay this game where I just have to put down $15. And then I get everything that's ever been created for the whole 7 years of Star Wars: The Old Republic.
Right.
You know, like that. I'm going to pay the $15 for that, or I'm going to play it free to play, see if I like it, and then maybe pay $15. And right. You know, and the $60 or $70 game, yeah, you know, maybe sometime, you know, or maybe I'll go to a friend's house and who does have it and see if I like it there. You know. So it's probably a bit of all of those things.
Another factor, too, is no one wants to be the first company to be consistently charging $70 or $80 for a game. And if I remember, because then you're the fucking greedy assholes and then nobody buys it. You know what I mean? I think if I remember correctly, I want to say GTA 5 was $80 when it first came out. And then they got all kinds of crazy backlash and they rolled it back to 60.
No. Maybe the digital deluxe
or something. There was something to where it was $80 when it came out. I don't remember exactly, but there was some controversy there.
We should do a show on this topic.
On the game, I think did we? I thought we did do one. A microtransactions one, or why games haven't changed their price?
Yeah,
yeah, we can
break down that because that's a really good question.
Do a little research.
Yeah. Well, okay. I get what you're saying, BC, about technology and stuff. But the hours that they put into Red Dead Online,
right,
and whether it's easier to make a game now than it was 10 years ago,
or even Red Dead, the story or main version campaign,
right,
I should say.
But what it takes to run these games is crazy. So I have my PC, my desktop, which is, I think, pretty powerful. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, yours is pretty much top of the line. Like, as close to the top of the line as can reasonably be expected for a working-class nerd.
Right. But then I play on my laptop, which has a GTX 960, and it's fucking awful.
Yeah.
It's awful. I play games on medium settings. It still runs like shit. I'm like, why would anybody do that?
Right.
Like, no.
You can't play any current games.
I can't play. I tried to play Battlefront on my
laptop,
and it played like shit.
Yeah, of course.
And so that's where I can understand buying an Xbox or a PlayStation, because they're optimized for those systems.
Right.
But I understand where Red Dead has to make loot boxes.
Right.
Because that's the way to prolong the game.
Oh, yeah, or Destiny, or make it pay to win a little bit, yeah.
Where Destiny, I'm going to bring that into this, where they got it wrong was, okay, they had a complete game, start to finish.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we're only going to release 2/3 of the game and then sell a season's pass for the next three downloads. But then that's going to complete the original game story.
Right.
And then the next year we'll come out with a big expansion. So before the game even releases, the full game isn't even released.
Right.
But they're charging you 60, 30, 30, 30. So they're breaking up their money to come out. And I understand that. And I personally love subscription-based games.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to do it.
But I don't like monthly subscription-based games. I think if you, Nick, wanted to play, okay, you finish Red Dead, you want to jump back into SOTOR, why can't you pay like $6 for a week pass or a 2 week pass?
Yeah.
Come into the game, play it for a week. Oh, wow, this is great. I'm going to sub for the whole month.
Yeah.
And then you pay the difference
right.
for that month. And then the next month, or maybe you stay subbed for a couple months and then shut it off. But then when you come back because you want to do OSIS, you pay the week thing and you did everything you wanted to do and then you're done.
Right.
And then move on to the next game.
Right.
I personally like that. And I think those should be options versus forcing you, like BC said, to spend $60 on a game.
Right. Yeah. That you're taking a chance on.
Yeah. I'm eager to try Red Dead Online. I'm going to try it. I'll only play it once,
yeah.
But I'm eager to see what it's like. I was just looking at the game case over there, and I said, maybe I'll put it in there and update it and just see what it's like.
Right.
You know? Next up is Battlefront 2.
So let me give a little backstory as to how this came about. Well, it started with you, Marcus, but I don't know what you did, but all of a sudden you're like, hey, I played Battlefront 2.
And you were like, what?
I was like, do you mean Battlefield 5? You're like, no. No, Battlefront 2. Like, the Star Wars game? Yeah. Like, on your PS4? Because Marcus bought the Battlefront 2 edition of his PS4 Pro. And he's like, no, I've never even opened that. I bought it on Steam because on Origin. Because I know my computer can crush it and have like mega super ultra settings.
Yeah. I loved the first of the new Battlefronts.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say this. DICE games are beautiful.
Yeah, they're always beautiful.
They are beautiful. And when you're running through Tatooine around Jabba's sail barge and you're a stormtrooper and the sun is reflecting
off your armor
and like if you turn the right way, it like blinds you.
Right.
Right. You're like, that's quality made.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And I was excited for Battlefront 2 because there was going to be a campaign, which they fucked up the first one by not
having a campaign.
Right.
Yeah.
And because I'm a Star Wars guy. And then they came out with this new one. And then they had to fuck it up with the loot boxes.
Yep. Entirely. So I think we did an episode on it.
We did. Yeah, because we were pissed.
Yeah.
And now the story was, as I saw it, and they just released an update where you can be Obi-Wan or General Grievous.
Yep.
And there's like you can go to the Geonosian Coliseum and you fight there. And I'm like,
awesome.
Yeah. I'm like,
that seems kind of cool. Right. I kind of want to check this out.
Yeah. So then on last week, Origin was having their holiday sale and it was 30% off everything. Well, the game was already discounted to $17.88.
Yep. So it was like, what, $12? $13 for you?
Yeah, it was 12 or 13 bucks. So I was like, it's $12.
Yeah, just take, like I'm we said before, that's a low barrier to entry. So you said, I'll try it.
And I paid 13 bucks. I'm never going to buy another thing for it.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
And I got in the game. It's great.
Yeah, you're playing the campaign, right?
Yep. And I haven't played any multiplayer yet, which I'm a huge first-person shooter fan.
Yep.
And those are my go-to second games.
Yeah.
And I think this is the one.
It's like SOTOR and then a first-person shooter.
And who doesn't want
to have two Star Wars games?
Yeah. And I got to play as Kylo Ren at one point. I did the arcade mode.
Oh, that's cool.
It was pretty sweet, man.
Were you just fucking people up?
Yeah.
Like fucking people from the Rebellion or whatever?
But I'm telling you, putting that game on Ultra?
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you use a mouse and keyboard?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Of course.
My nephew plays a lot of PvP in Battlefront 2. He lives in England, but he plays against people in America and tells me all about it because he's 8 years old. So he really enjoys playing it.
And it's a really good
IP, right? He watches the movies and then he can play as Kylo Ren or any of his
or Rey or Luke or Han or Leia. I mean, but it's a good game. And I'm eager to jump into the multiplayer. Like, I know I'm a year behind, so everybody is going to be max level, and now here I am level one.
Right.
They're going to be like, oh, look at this noob. He's using a BB gun.
Right.
And we're using our blasters. Like, this guy's going to die. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, for all the loot box hype, if you haven't bought it because of the loot boxes.
Like you and I didn't.
Yeah, no, we didn't because I was completely against it.
Right.
But for $13 and change.
Yeah, now it's probably fairly safe to hop in if you want to give it a shot now.
You got it for free.
Yeah, I lucked out. So Marcus is a PC snob, obviously. And he got a free copy of Battlefront 2
with
his PS4 Pro. So Marcus was like, oh, hey, I played Battlefront 2. I was like, oh, well, cool, on your PS4. He's like, no, on PC. I'm like, don't you have a copy? And he's like, I forgot about that. And I thought it was a digital download, and no, it was a disc. So he just gave it to me, and I got a free copy of Battlefront 2. So, of course, I played some of the campaign, too.
Yeah, and it's fun.
It's beautiful. It's a fun shooter. It's cool to be a trooper in Inferno Squad, which is pretty badass. I didn't read the books, but I got to go back and read them.
One of them. The second one. And it's good. I listened to it. Anyway, last point.
The dongle.
Yeah, the dongle. So let me just lay this out. Nick sends me this. It says, tells me to Google this thing. What's it called?
The Zim Apex.
Okay. All right. Zim Apex.
Yep.
And I Google it, and it's talking about some fucking USB thing that plugs into something, and you can use a keyboard and mouse. I'm like, I just shook my head. I'm like, this is dumb. So then I finally talked to him.
Yeah.
And he tells me.
I was at, let me, there's a bit of a backstory. I was at work work in a hospital, and it's not often that nurses have downtime. Obviously, I mean, I work in an emergency room, so usually it's fucking crazy 24/7. But one of the nurses I know, Josh, was shout out to Josh, was looking up this thing and some keyboard options on his computer, and I was like, "Whoa, what are you looking like? What's the deal?" It's not often you come across gaming stuff, and he was like, "Dude, check this thing out. I play PUBG a lot on the Xbox, and this dongle, which is it's just a little USB attachment." Lets you attach a wireless mouse and keyboard to your console. You can use it for Xbox One or PS4, and it lets you attach a wireless mouse and keyboard. And the game and the console think that it's just a regular controller. So you can use a mouse and keyboard with a console, and no one will know the difference, except for, of course, you're turning super fast and just fucking people up in first-person shooters. So my question was, because there's a bit of a controversy with this thing, is that cheating? Or is it not? And I'd like to get your thoughts first, Marcus.
Oh, I want to know BC's before I drop my hammer.
Okay. BC, what do you think?
I don't think it's cheating. I think it's just another example of someone having better equipment. So, like, Marcus's high-powered PC means that if he plays against people in PvP, he probably has fewer issues with lag than someone who doesn't have as good a PC. So,
that's fair.
Yeah. You know, it... There's always going to be an element of that, right? If you can afford a better PC, then you'll have fewer issues with lag or, you know, other kinds of issues like that. I'm always excited to sort of see what they can develop to make games interesting and allow you to play them in new ways. So I'll be interested to see if that starts to proliferate and there's more of that kind of stuff that comes out.
I think computers, a lot of it's based on your computer, yes, and your internet, but I think everywhere in the country doesn't lag as much as Kentucky. And you know, and he's in DC.
Oh,
like he's at like the hub of where all internet comes from.
Yeah, at least 20 miles from the SWTOR servers, so my ping in game is usually like 6 milliseconds or something.
Oh my god, that's incredible.
Under 10, yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know, a good friend, shout out to Mal. It takes him like an extra 20 minutes to load into anything over the course of the night because of Kentucky internet. Just saying.
Kentucky internet's just terrible.
It's terrible. Jeez. Anyway, that was my little push. But to my dongle, it's fucking cheating. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Consoles. I fuck this up every time. So consoles are meant to have a controller. Okay. That is a purchase. Xbox is a Microsoft company, but they give you a controller to use.
Okay.
Just like a PlayStation.
Yeah.
If you're using a third-party product, plugging it in,
yeah,
it's basically giving somebody aim assist.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's telling the PlayStation that, hey, he's still using a controller.
Right.
But you're not using a controller.
You're right. You're using
a keyboard and mouse.
Right.
So you're in a competition or a tournament, an online tournament, and you're using that. You have a clear advantage over the next guy.
Yeah. I think in a tournament setting, it might be unfair.
But in period, you could do ranked Overwatch matches.
Right.
Now you have a step above somebody in, you know, where in a PC you'd be even. But if you're playing on the PlayStation on a keyboard and mouse, if I'm playing on a keyboard and mouse and you're playing on with a controller, I have a clear advantage to you.
Right. Yeah.
Clear advantage.
Right.
And now this brings me to my next point from Xbox and PlayStation. Why can't you use a keyboard and mouse?
Why not? I think you should be able to.
Like, let them, if people want to plug in a keyboard and mouse, let them. What does it matter? Why do you have to use the crappy PlayStation controller? It's the worst fucking controller on the planet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But so to that effect, so your big issue is that it's not natively available.
Correct.
To the console, therefore it's cheating.
Yes.
But if it was, then you wouldn't have a problem with it.
Correct, because then everybody can do it.
I see.
Right now, I never heard of this stupid dongle.
That's the Zim Apex.
Are you looking at it right now?
Yeah, I have it up.
All right, how much is it?
$100.
Okay. If you don't have $100, some people don't have, like BC said, some people don't have $60 to go buy the new game.
Right.
So
yeah, I didn't. I wouldn't have bought Battlefront if I had to pay for it.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Perfectly said.
Right.
So now I'd have an extra $100 to throw away, or BC does. He can go buy this dongle, which I can't afford that, or you can't afford that.
Yeah, it's Christmas time.
It's great. Well, whatever. I'm just saying, as in a general statement, I can't afford to buy a dongle. I can barely afford to pay $60 for the Red Dead game that I've just bought.
Sure.
But you want me to, so now it's a clear disadvantage for me.
Right.
And that's why I think it's cheating.
I get you.
But if
it's like it's like a pay barrier type of thing.
Exactly.
That's what you're
saying. So now if PlayStation says, hey, we realize our controller sucks, we want everybody to be able to use a keyboard and mouse.
Right.
Now, if you don't choose to use a keyboard and mouse, that's your own choice.
Right. But it's supported already.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like some games, I prefer a controller.
Right. A lot of games do. Like, even some characters for Overwatch are better on a controller.
Right.
There's no advantage for a mouse and keyboard, I should say.
Well, Mass Effect. The Mass Effect series, I loved a controller.
Right.
Loved a controller. People are like, is this guy for real? I didn't like playing it with a keyboard and mouse.
Yeah.
I didn't.
I like a lot of third-person stuff I prefer a controller for.
Right. But Call of Duty? Keyboard and mouse for the win.
Yeah, always.
And I haven't played Call of Duty in a long time. Either way. It's cheating.
I'm kind of between you and BC here for this. Like, I understand it's like a clear advantage, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just selfish because I really want to get one now and then go play a first-person shooter and just murderate everybody. So maybe that's why I'm like about it. But
listen to what you just said.
Yeah.
You want to buy one so you can use a keyboard and mouse so you can murder people.
Right.
Because now you have that clear advantage from everybody
right.
else.
Yeah, so it is definitely cheating. But I think I'm pretty much aligning my agreement with you that it should be natively available in the consoles, that you should not only be able to put a mouse and keyboard on. B, you should be able to use whatever controller you want as long as the software lines up. Like, if you want to use a PS4 controller in your Xbox, you should be able to because it's clearly the better controller. Or if you want to use a Madcast controller from 1997, then you should be able to plug one of those in and use it too, as long as it has the same button layout. And Marcus is just flabbergasted that the PS4 controller's better.
Well, no, but again,
like, that it's should a have personal that support, preference. You know?
That's the point. That's right. What's awesome about it. If you like the PlayStation controller, you should be able to take that thing anywhere you go and bring it over to Uncle Johnny's house and use it with his Xbox.
Right.
And if it's telling you to press X and it's really A.
Well, that's on you because you have the
third-party controller. You should know that. Yeah, right. You have to figure it out, bro.
Right. That's what you get for not using that systems.
But you should be able to use it all. It should all be cross-platform.
I agree.
And that's why it will be soon. Everything's going to be a computer.
Yeah, I think consoles
and a mobile.
Yeah.
So, BC, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
This was awesome. It's been a long time coming. I'm glad you could come on. And one of these episodes, I really want to talk about mobile games.
We should.
Yeah, because they're fucking awful.
We'll have to crush some candies while we're doing the episode. People can hear all the crunching. See what I did there? Candy Crush.
What are you guys talking about in here?
Find out next episode of Working Class Nerds.